On Monday, April 9th, 1906, a preacher named William Seymour made a pastoral call to a man named Edward Lee. Lee had had a vision in which the 12 apostles came to him and explained how to speak in tongues. So Lee asked Seymour to pray with him that he might receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Together, Seymour and Lee prayed. And immediately, Lee began to speak in tongues. Seymour and Lee rushed to a prayer meeting at another home where Seymour reported the news of Lee's baptism in the Holy Spirit. As Seymour finished speaking, Lee raised his hand and once again spoke in tongues. Worshippers gathered in the home broke out in fervent prayer. Soon, Seymour and seven others fell to the floor in religious ecstasy, also speaking in tongues. News spread quickly. For days, people came to the house from all over the city of Los Angeles and beyond to hear Seymour preach, to witness this phenomenon, to receive for themselves the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gift of tongues. Soon, the house could no longer hold all who were drawn to this religious revival. Seymour and his flock moved to Azusa Street, which became known as the birthplace of Pentecostalism. Since the Azusa Street revival just over 100 years ago, Pentecostal churches have spread around the world. Their worship typically includes not only speaking in tongues, but interpretation of tongues, prophecy, testimony, healing, all vivid manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Of course, such ecstatic expressions of the Spirit are not typical of the Episcopal Church. We're better known for doing things decently and in good order. And yet, over a month ago, we gathered in this very space for the ordination of Liz Titchener as a priest in the Episcopal Church. And we had a very focused moment of prayer for the Holy Spirit. Liz knelt right there in front of Bishop Robinson. As all of the priests in the assembly came from their places to stand around her, a chant began. Veni Sancti Spiritus, Latin. Come, Holy Spirit. As the room filled with sound, a soaring soprano rose over the hum of the chant. Come, Holy Spirit, from heaven shine forth with your glorious light. Gradually the chant died away, and we prayed in silence for a time. Bishop Robinson placed his hands on Liz's head and began to pray, offering thanks and praise to God. Midway through his prayer, the priests extended their hands and joined Bishop Robinson in laying hands on Liz as the bishop prayed. Therefore, Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, give your Holy Spirit to Liz. Fill her with grace and power. Liz didn't respond to this prayer for the Holy Spirit by speaking in tongues, at least as far as I know. And yet, we trust that through song and prayer and laying on of hands, she was filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit blesses and empowers her in her ministry as a priest. Prayer for the Holy Spirit is central not only to ordination, but also to baptism. Later in this service, Zachary David Horton will be baptized by water and the Holy Spirit. The Spirit will stir in the waters as Zachary is baptized. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. That action of the Spirit will be emphasized after the water, as Father Phil anoints him with the fragrant oil called chrism, saying, "You are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever." Then we'll pray that Zachary will be sustained with the Holy Spirit, a gift to nourish and uphold him throughout his life as a Christian. We celebrate Zachary's baptism today on the feast of the baptism of Jesus. As Luke tells the story, the Holy Spirit takes center stage. Jesus' immersion in the Jordan River is almost incidental. Coming up from the water, Jesus prays, and the heavens open. Luke reports that the Holy Spirit descends on Jesus in the form of a dove. There are sound effects, too. A voice that proclaims, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." In a hymn for Epiphany, the Syrian poet Ephrem, writing in the 4th century, extolled this gift of the Spirit. "The Spirit descended from the heights and sanctified the water as it hovered. When John baptized Jesus, it left all others and settled on one. But now it has come down and settled upon all who are reborn in the water of baptism. Of all those that John baptized, the Spirit dwelt on one alone. But now, says Ephrem, it has flown down to dwell upon many." It is not just Jesus who receives the gift of the Spirit. John the Baptist promises that Jesus will baptize others with the Holy Spirit and with fire. We get a glimpse of this outpouring of the Spirit in today's reading from Acts. It's a rather bare bones tale. The people of Samaria had accepted the word of God and been baptized in the name of Jesus, but they hadn't received the Holy Spirit. So the apostles at Jerusalem sent Peter and John off to Samaria, and with prayer and laying on of hands, sound familiar? the believers in Samaria received the Holy Spirit. That's it. No fire, no tongues, just the Spirit. Yet, this one brief tale captures a recurring theme in the book of Acts. It begins early on the Feast of Pentecost, near the beginning of this book, with a dramatic display of the Spirit's power. A rush of wind, tongues of fire alighting on the disciples, after which the disciples began to speak in other languages. From there, the Holy Spirit shows up again and again and again, empowering Christians, sending them out to tell the good news of Jesus, building up the church as the gospel is preached from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. A dove, a voice from heaven, a mighty rushing wind, tongues of fire. The Holy Spirit takes different forms, and we invoke the Spirit in different ways, through song, touch, water, oil, prayer. The baptismal prayer for the Holy Spirit identifies particular gifts of the Spirit: an inquiring and discerning heart, the courage to will and to persevere, a spirit to know and to love God, the gift of joy and wonder in all God's works. A similar prayer for the sevenfold gift of the Spirit was part of Christian baptismal rites as early as the 4th century. In our Anglican prayer book tradition, this prayer was included in confirmation, and it's still part of confirmation in some other churches of the Anglican Communion today. When our prayer book was revised in 1979, the Episcopal Church decided to make this prayer part of baptism in order to emphasize the bestowal of the Holy Spirit in baptism. As Ephrem the Syrian reminds us, now the Holy Spirit has come down and settled upon all who are reborn in the water of baptism. This list of the gifts of the Holy Spirit comes from the prophet Isaiah, who foretells that a branch will come from the root of Jesse, that is, an heir of the great King David. Christians understand Jesus to be this heir of David. Isaiah's prophecy includes a promise of God's Spirit empowering the new king for his royal service. This is the Holy Spirit who empowers Jesus at his baptism, marking the beginning of his public ministry. Luke's gospel continues beyond the portion we heard this morning to tell us that Jesus returned to Galilee filled with the Holy Spirit, and there he began to preach. The Holy Spirit animates Jesus' ministry, filling him with grace and power. That same Spirit has been poured out on Jesus' followers down through the ages. That same Spirit is poured forth on us empowering us for ministry. In the waters of baptism, we receive grace and power. Thanks be to God for the wondrous gift of the Spirit.